Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Every month I do a different series. It's around a different theme or a different book of the Bible or something like that. And during the summer, I just kind of lean into summer being a little strange, and so we do different things during the summer. And so we typically do the summer playlist, and it's, you guys remember mixtapes, right? It's that kind of thing. You put all kind of your favorite hits all together, and that's what we're covering. And so, like, last week we had Matt here, and he shared something. And today I'm sharing something different. And sometimes during the summer, what I'll do is I'll ask people, like, what do you want to hear? What are some hot topics, or what are some interesting messages? Or we've even had moments where I said, over the past 10 years, you've heard me preach. What are some of the messages that you would like to hear again? Well, in my incredible brilliance, this year, because I plan my messages out way in advance, right? Okay? In my incredible brilliance, on the year where I'm also starting to run a whole second church, I decided that my theme for my summer playlist this year for sermons would be, I would take all the sermon topics that I am uncomfortable preaching about and preach them this summer. Yay! And one of the sermons, one of the topics I'm a little uncomfortable preaching on is, what do we do with the Old Testament law? And I'm not uncomfortable with it because it's really kind of an awkward subject. It's because it's one of those great big subjects that I'm not sure if I totally understand myself. Now, I have been in the church for 37 years. And I have been teaching the Bible to my peers and to those younger than me since I was 15 years old. I have been in ministry full-time for the past 14 years. And there are still subjects in here and things in here that I go, I think I know what that means, but I'm not 100% sure. And honestly, as a pastor, it's very easy to avoid those subjects and to avoid that content because I'm not real comfortable with it. I'm not super versed in it. I don't have all the answers. And so I kind of avoid it. And so what I wanted to do this summer is I wanted to tackle some of those subjects that I'm not 100% confident on and see if I can learn and I can grow, but I can also share it with you. And so I wanted to talk today about, what do you do with the Old Testament law? Because I have had conversations, and you may have had conversations, maybe you have said these things to other people, where they say, you know what, the Old Testament is old, we're in the New Testament, we don't need to follow that stuff doesn't matter anymore. We've got Jesus, and the Old Testament just doesn't matter. So you don't need to worry about the Old Testament. You don't need to read the Old Testament. You don't need to follow those rules at all anymore. You may have heard somebody say that. Or you may have been in the situation where you're talking to somebody, or you have said to somebody, you know what, it says in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so those are the rules, and you have to follow those rules. And then somebody looks at you and goes, yes, but they also say that you can't boil a baby goat in its mother's milk. So it also says that you can't eat pork. Anybody had bacon here? Bacon? Sinners! No. Very clearly, I know we're allowed to eat bacon. Praise the Lord. Some of you like lobster. That's not allowed in the Old Testament. So what do we do with that? Like, if I'm allowed to eat bacon and lobster, does that mean I'm allowed to murder too? Well, if I'm not allowed to murder, then why am I allowed to eat pork and lobster and boil baby goat in its mouth? That's a weird one. I don't get that one. Really don't. I don't know what that is. What are we supposed to do with that? Are we supposed to follow the Old Testament? Are we supposed to follow the rules of the Old Testament or not? And what are we allowed to do and what are we not allowed to do? Well, there are a couple passages that I want to share with you. And they're a little longer, okay? At least one of them is a little longer, but I want to share with you a couple passages here, and then I want to give you a kind of an image to help us try to wrap our brains about how do we navigate this question. So the first passage, Shazam! Yay! The first passage is found in Matthew. In Matthew 5:17, these are all New Testament passages, okay? So Matthew records a time when Jesus is speaking to the crowd, and he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish, to get rid of the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Okay, so Jesus says he's not getting rid of the Old Testament law, but he's coming to fulfill it. Okay? Next passage, Romans chapter 8. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's a missionary. He's writing to the people in Rome to share with them about the good news of Jesus and to explain some truth about him. And he says, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son," that's Jesus, "in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the religious requirement of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." Okay, whew. You guys all followed that? No, okay. Paul, like, if you really want to dig into that, you got to read, like, chapter 6, 7, and 8, okay? But what those verses are showing is that Paul is saying to the people, listen, you had the law, God gave the law to the Jews, okay? But they were broken. And the law wasn't able to fix them. But Jesus came along as a human to fix that. And it was because Jesus came along and fixed it, became a human and fixed it, that things are different now. What the law wanted to produce, Jesus produced. Okay? Now let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This is Paul again. He's writing a letter to the church in Galatia. He's writing to explain some stuff, and this is what he says to them. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters..." They weren't actually his brothers and sisters, right? He didn't have a big family. He's calling fellow believers, those that follow Jesus. He's like, "You guys are part of my family now." And he calls them brothers and sisters. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. And what he means by flesh, he's not talking about like physically, your physical body is wrong. He's talking about sin. Do not fulfill or indulge in sin. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law of the Old Testament is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the desires of sin. For the sin, the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're opposed to each other. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever, just whatever you want. That's not what you're supposed to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Okay. I know that was a lot, okay? I know that was a lot, but that's a theology. Those are the words. That's the information that we got to base this on. So now I want to give you this idea. I want to give you this kind of picture to help flesh this out a little bit. How many of you have ever built a house? Anybody here built a house? Okay. Even if you haven't built a house, you probably have a little bit of understanding about how that process works. Especially here in the Western world, we have building codes. And so you can't just put up a building however you want. Like if you're using like really flimsy cardboard to build your walls, like your building's going to fall over. Right, it's going to collapse. There's going to be high humidity, and it's just going to collapse, and it's going to be not safe. It's not going to be good. And so we have building codes, and that has to do with the wood that you use and how you use your wood, how you do electrical, plumbing, insulation, all of that stuff. There are rules and laws around all of that. And so imagine that you're building a house, and you've got the building codes, and you're doing your best, but you're not a great carpenter, you're not a great plumber, you're not a great electrician, and so you're doing your best, but you don't really get it up to code, okay? Things aren't, things are holding together, they're okay. You've got things wired together, but like the light switch usually works, okay? The roof is up. For now, okay? The door opens and closes. You just can't open it all the way because it hits the floor, okay? Some of you are having like flashbacks, right, to these situations. And so you're doing your best, and you're building this house, and the building inspector comes around, okay? The building inspector looks at things and he's like, nah, man, this isn't good. This is not up to code. It's not working right. And so what you do is you've worked into the cost of building a house this great big stack of cash that you use to bribe the building inspector. And so the building inspector comes along and he's like, yeah, you're not up to code. And he's and you're like, huh? And he goes, huh? And he gives you the check and on you go. And so you're allowed to continue building your house. You continue to go on that way. The legal requirement there is kind of taken care of. And you're allowed to build your house, but it's only through bribes. And so eventually you get through, you've built your house, you have a house, it's there, it's not up to code, it's not working perfectly, but you've got something. You tried your best to follow it, but it just couldn't get there, and you got there because you had those bribes that got you there. That's kind of like the Old Testament law, okay? Where the Jews were given this set of rules of how to build their lives, and they couldn't do it. And God came along and said, listen, if you sacrifice this goat, you sacrifice this sheep, you sacrifice this bull, and you do these things, then that's gonna deal with this to a certain extent. Here are your guidelines. I want you to follow these guidelines. I want you to be doing these things, but here are kind of, these are the bribes that I'll accept. That's kind of, not exactly, but that's kind of what the Old Testament law is like. It doesn't change the quality of your house. It doesn't change exactly what your skill level is. It doesn't even fix the problems in your house. But it gets the job done. Well then, imagine you've got your house, you've built your house, it's not up to code, you've gone through all the legal requirements, you've got your house, but then somebody comes in and they start looking at things and like, man, what a piece of junk. And he says, but I want to buy it. I want to buy this piece of junk. And you go, great. Sucker. And so you sell the house to the guy. He walks in and he starts tearing walls out, opening up walls, pulling the plumbing out. He gets out the jackhammer and he starts working at the foundation. He's ripping out wires and ripping out plumbing. He's up on the roof and he's like, who did the flashing on here? Why is it just a bunch of caulking? And he's tearing everything apart and he starts to redo it. And like a master carpenter, plumber, electrician, he starts replacing all the broken things, all the messed up things, all the things that weren't up to code. And he's not giving anybody bribes, and he's not doing it because he's the one that's doing the work. He's the one that's changing things. He's the ones that paying for all the repairs. And he goes in and slowly but surely over time he replaces and he fixes and he changes the whole house so that now it's up to code. Now the roof doesn't leak. Now the toilet actually flushes and doesn't back up into the bathtub. Now the door actually opens. You turn on the light switch and the light comes on every time. He even programmed your VCR. And he brings it up to code. And Jesus looked at the Jewish people and the law, and he said, you don't have it together, but I'm going to buy you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to purchase you, and then I'm going to come in, and I'm going to change your lives. The Old Testament law, it's good. It showed you what the code was. It was the building code. This is what life is supposed to look like. But it couldn't. Following the Old Testament law never changed anyone's life. It allowed you to build a life, but it didn't change your life. And Jesus comes along and says, I want to buy you, I want to own you, and I want to change your life. I want to renovate your life. I want to bring it up to the actual building code. The law had a purpose. It wasn't about the rules. It wasn't about the bribes. It wasn't even necessarily about all the codes. It was about having a good house. It was about having that good, godly life. The Bible talks about us being made in the image of God so that when people look at us, they think of God. When they look at us, they see the goodness of God. When they look at us, they see the love of God. That's what we were built for. That's what we were made for. That's why we were built. And the law never made us that way. It just gave us a picture of what that's supposed to look like. And Jesus comes along and says, listen, you don't need to follow all those rules because those rules never actually produced the life that you're supposed to have. What you've got to do is you've got to let me fulfill the intended purpose. You've got to let me take over and renovate your life. And his renovations are going to be up to code. His renovations are going to be up to the standard and the way that things are supposed to be. But it's going to be him making that change. And so this is my thought for you today. You don't need to follow the Old Testament law. But you do need to fulfill it. You don't need to follow the Old Testament law, but you do need to fulfill it. And the only way you fulfill it is through Jesus. He came to buy your life. He looked at us and he saw how broken, how messed up, how decrepit, run down, shoddy we were, and he said, I want that. I want to buy that house. I want to buy that person. I want that person. And he comes in and he starts to renovate. And he's the only one that can really do the job. He's the only one really qualified. Yeah, carpenters, plumbers, all this stuff. They have the qualifications on a house. But when it comes to our lives, he's the only one that has the qualifications and the skill set and the power to make that change in us. The Old Testament, some of it shows us, it's actually looking forward to what God was going to do through Christ. The sacrifices never actually did anything. They never changed anything. What they were looking forward to is they were predicting that Jesus was going to come and pay a higher cost for you to make a difference. And then there are other parts of the Old Testament law that show us how things are supposed to be, and they show us who God is, what he loves and what he hates. And that gives us a picture of who he is. And if we're supposed to reflect God, if we are his image, then we should look like that. But that doesn't come by following a set of rules. That comes through Jesus doing work in our lives. None of the Old Testament is to be taken as a rule book without Jesus. Don't try to follow the law to be a good person. You need to fulfill it, and that only happens through Christ. And the Old Testament helps us see what God is like. So what do we do? How do we do that? What does that mean? We don't need to follow the Old Testament, but we do need to fulfill it. How do you fulfill it? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Know the Old Testament. You may not need to follow the Old Testament as a set of rules to become a good person, but the more you know about God And the more you see what he loves and what he hates and what he cares about and how he behaves, the greater understanding and the more aware of what he wants to do in your life you will become. And the more that you'll notice how things aren't quite right. You and I have gone through our lives many, many times in many, many ways, assuming that this is just how life is. Before you get glasses, you assume everything is blurry for everybody. And then you get glasses and it's like, oh, this is what it was supposed to be like. Some of you have been in relationships and they have been horrible, but you just assume that's how people work. That's how relationships function. Everybody screams at each other. Everyone hits each other. Everyone deals with lies in the relationship. That's just normal. That's how relationships happen. And then you end up in a better relationship and you're like, I didn't know this is what it could be like. Some of you have dealt with money problems and you live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck and you don't know that there's a different way of doing that. Some of you are dealing with addictions and habits and sins where you continue to just repeat the same patterns of behavior over and over and over and over again. And you just think, that's just how life is. That's how it was for Dad. That's how it was for Mom. That's how it is for my brother. That's how it is for me. That's just how it is. And the reality is that that's not how it's meant to be. And the more you know your Bible, the more you'll see that God has something different, something better for you. And that's not how things are supposed to be. And so you got to know. Jesus didn't come to get rid of the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. And so you need to follow Jesus. You need to know your Bible and your Old Testament. You need to stop asking, what can I get away with? What parts of the law can I ignore? And start asking, what is it that Jesus wants me to do? And so I want to leave you with one very simple application point here. And as I share it, I want the worship team's going to come back up. And they're going to get ready to lead us in a couple more songs to reflect, give us time to reflect and respond to this. I wrote this down this morning as I was reflecting on this. No, you don't need to follow the Old Testament, but you do need to fulfill it. And the key to fulfilling it is Jesus. And this is my very simple principle that I want you to consider today. That what that means, how you live that out, how you take that step, is that if Jesus wants something in your life, if he says, I want that money, I want that relationship, I want that habit, I want that time, I want that family member, I want that job, I want that thing, and he says, I want that for myself. I want to have control over that thing. I want to be able to renovate that thing. I want control and change of that thing because I want to fulfill something different in that part of your life. If God says to you, I want that thing, give it to him. When Jesus whispers or yells at you and says, I want that, stop holding that back from me. Stop keeping that away from me. I want that. Your path forward is to give it to him. And watch what he does. Watch how he changes things. Watch how he renovates and fulfills the building code and makes your life better than you have any idea that it could be. He doesn't want to make you miserable. He doesn't want to make you horrible. He doesn't want to ruin your life. He wants to make it good and right. And so if he wants you, and he wants something, and he says to you, I want that thing in your life, give it to him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.